God that calls for our meditation this Ash Wednesday evening is the reading that we read earlier from Matthew chapter 6, especially verse 1. It says there, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout the history of the Christian church, almost as far back as we can track, Lent has always been a season of reflection upon sin. As Good Friday draws nearer and nearer, true Christian meditation upon the cross cannot help but make the connection that the one who is upon the cross is ultimately there because of our sin. And in connection with that realization, which works repentance, Christians throughout all generations have grown to do several things during the season of Lent. There are three of these common practices which got mentioned tonight in that section of scripture we read from Matthew. Christians have generally during Lent increased their attention to works of mercy towards the needy. Secondly, they have re-devoted themselves to prayer and to worship. And lastly, they have tended to be intentional in their practice of fasting. But unfortunately, just as common as those practices have been when you look throughout the history of the church, the way in which many people carry out those practices has been just as common. It's a problem as old as Jesus' day, as our text reminds. Jesus said in his day, people would sound a trumpet before them before they gave to the poor. Now, while we might not literally blow our horn anymore, we do often still want some form of recognition for helping out the needy. We want to make certain that people at least know that we are giving. Well, we don't mind having our picture in the paper if we attended some special event. And we like to kind of talk about those people that we think aren't giving as they should. When it came to praying in Jesus' day, we're told that the religious leaders of the day could make people marvel with the words they would use in their prayers. And in that day, many others then tried to mimic the religious leaders. We still have people like that in our day. And especially those of us that have been given the task often of publicly praying for the church, there is always that temptation to concentrate on the way in which one is praying rather than the simple fact that we are praying. But from what I know of most of you, not too many of you struggle with the temptation to want to give a long-winded prayer in front of a bunch of people. No, most of you, quite frankly, if we're asked to pray in public, you would rather get that over just as quick as you could. But how about the pride that we might exhibit when it simply comes to worshiping more often during this Lenten season? When it comes to coming here to pray, do we sometimes make a big deal about the fact that we're here on Wednesday night when others aren't? Do we hope that people will at least notice our special effort in this season? Do we think being here will prove our faithfulness and our devotion to the others who are watching? Finally, Jesus said that in his day, people indeed did fast often, but often when they fasted, they did so in a way that would, so that everybody would know about it. And we might say they not only skipped their meals, but they also skipped the equivalent of their showers and their deodorants, so that everybody would be sure just from looking at them or maybe even from smelling them that they were doing something different. Yes, when they fasted, everybody knew it. They probably noted each time their stomach growled. And while in our day, those of us that are Lutherans are probably more likely to hold an extra pot luck during the season of Lent than we are to fast, the few cases that do happen around our midst are publicized everywhere. I've seen youth groups hold 40-day fasts during Lent, and they make sure everybody knows about it. When I was in college, those who were given to the practice of fasting would still come to the cafeteria and just not eat, so that you knew what they were doing. Just a half an hour or so ago in confirmation class, one of the kids said that today, one of the topics around the cafeteria at school was, "What are you giving up for Lent?" Yes, indeed, we often in our day, if there's any hint of fasting still going on in the Christian church, those people who do it often make sure everybody else knows that they are doing it. But we should be absolutely clear tonight. Works of mercy are no doubt very appropriate for this season. Indeed, as we spend our time in this season being reminded of the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus, we indeed should be very generous towards anyone in need. And certainly extra attention to prayer and worship is welcomed in this season as well. So after all, why we offer our Wednesday night service every week. For we believe that no second is ever wasted in prayer or in worship. And yes, fasting is something that Jesus assumed that all of us would do. He talked about it being as common as praying in the Christian's life. It's something that almost every church father, Martin Luther included, practiced often. So there's no doubt that renewing this forgotten practice in our lives would also be good for anyone in this season. But Jesus' words of admonition to us this evening is that we are to do those things in secret. And why is that? Well, because Jesus knows that this way we are not tempted to try to seek the approval of other people while we are doing these things. If we do them in secret, there's only one person that even knows we're doing them. And he is the one whom we should be seeking approval from anyways. For Jesus is clear. He says if you seek the approval of men in these things that you're doing, you might well receive it. But that's all that you will receive. He says you will have lost your reward with the Father. Instead, Jesus says that if we do them in secret, God himself is the one who will bring reward. He is the one who will bring reward, possibly already in this life, and if not in this life, then he has promised to bring it with him when he comes on the last day. So this Lenten season, go ahead. Sit at your kitchen table and write that check and send it in to help. Click on the Give Now button and send your money where it is needed. Place a $50 bill in an unmarked envelope and drop it off in a needy friend's mailbox. Sneak out to the Wednesday night service. Be in the Word twice a day instead of once, or once a day instead of once a week, or maybe once a week instead of never in your home. Carve out time for private prayer in a place where no one else will be around. And yes, give fasting a try. Perhaps fast just from your evening meal until the morning, or skip one meal a day, or just skip one meal, period. And take that time that you would have been eating and spend it in time instead focusing on the things of God. Whatever you do, don't tell me about it. For the reward I can offer you is very little. And don't tell your friends and family, for the reward of their approval will fade very soon. Do these things in secret, Jesus says. And the Father who sees what is in secret will reward you. For you and I are simply not like Jesus. When we do things in public, it is so hard for us not to want the approval of those around us. Yes, pride has been since the very beginning and continues right up to this day to be the most common sin of all among humanity. And pride always, always, always covets the love and the approval of others. No doubt, as we begin our Lenten journey tonight, we must admit that at times we have been guilty of wanting the approval of others, of wanting that approval even more than we've wanted the approval of our Heavenly Father. And so tonight, as we begin Lent, let us begin with our repentance in that area. Let us confess those times when we've done pretty good things, but we've also soiled those things with the pride that demands recognition for every deed that is done. And then let us, like I said, bring that repentance before God. Let us bring it before God alone, in those secret places where God has given that we might come in from out of the world and do that repentance in secret. Do it in your homes when you lie on your beds at night. Do it during the confession time that we have here at church. Do it individually before the pastor whom God has given you to assure you of your forgiveness. For this is a truthful saying: God always meets confession with forgiveness. Those who humble themselves, God exalts. Yes, those who repent receive the fruit of the best work ever carried out in public, the work that Jesus did upon the cross. For he alone was able to seek only God's approval, even as he hung there surrounded by so many others. And thanks be to God that he was able to do that work perfectly for us. Because he has, our prideful acts can be forgiven. And not only can they be forgiven, they are forgiven. Right here, tonight, in this place. In words, and later in bread and in wine. Yes, our sins, symbolized by those ashes on our forehead, are washed away tonight by God's grace. And that being true, then we are left walk out of this place no longer foolishly seeking the approval of others, but rejoicing for Christ's sake that God approves of us in every way. We then get to travel throughout the rest of the season of Lent, practicing the godliness that Christ calls us to in secret. For when we do those things in secret, our Father who sees what is in sees in secret will indeed reward us. That is his promise, and that is true. Amen.